Psalms 27. I'm going to read the first few verses. We will deal with every verse in this chapter this morning, and I'll do it, and we'll be through right at 12. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I want us to bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit right now would give you unction and anointing. Thank you for this service already. God, I have sensed your presence. I'm glad. Lord, David said, I was glad when they said, let's go in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad people are glad to come here. I'm glad, our Father, they love you. They love the singing. They love the Word of God. They love people. And I pray, God, that those who are guests and visitors this morning would feel that love. They feel, Lord, the love of God, Christ most of all, but they'd feel the love of God's people and welcoming them. And Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to work. Lord, I don't know who's saved in this building, who's not, but somebody who's here and has heard the laughter and heard the good music before this week is out could be in a fire. They could be in hell for all eternity, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth with no rest whatsoever. Not because, Lord, they're more wicked or sinful than anybody else, because they have never trusted Christ. And Father, I pray this morning the sweet Holy Spirit of God to deal with their heart and draw them by your grace. And I pray, our Father, they'd understand that, our Father, you made salvation possible for them. And God, I pray they'll not neglect another day, but Lord, will receive you as Savior and Lord here in the building and in the internet audience and in the radio audience. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit now will speak to hearts. And God, for those of us who are saved, I pray, God, you'd help us to live in 2014 with a great confidence, not in ourselves, not in the arm of the flesh, but in the Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Outside of cancer and diabetes, in the top three of all diseases in America, the one disease that is so prominent across this nation is the disease they call depression, anxiety, or fear. So many people, even in this building or right now, on different types of drugs for their physical problems or for the emotional problems. And I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying that's the case. And it's that way across this nation. And when you look at what's going on in our economy, when you look at what's going on in the world, and people are fearful of what's going to happen, they live in fear and dread all the time. But I want to preach to you for a few minutes on a future without fear. Enter in 2014. I want to enter it without any fear whatsoever. And David said in this passage of Scripture, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David, and that's a rhetorical question, of course. And the answer is nobody. And David said, I can live a future without fear. Though, like me and you, and though all of us combined, I can live a future without fear, though I live in a world of darkness. Notice what he said here. The Lord is my light. You live in a dark world. Can I tell you something about America? It's not going to get any better. It is not going to get any better. The world's not going to get any better. But don't be surprised. The Lord said, wicked men will wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse as time goes on. Expect it. Know it's going to get that way. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, you know that. And though I live in a world of darkness, my dear friend, I can live a life in the future without fear. How can I do that? Though I live in a world of darkness, and though I live in a world where I need a Savior, he said, the Lord is my salvation. I need a Savior, but I don't have to live in fear. You know, in the book of Revelation, they have that scroll, and there's weeping in heaven because there's nobody who's worthy to take that book. But then the Lion of the tribe of Judah comes, and he says, thou art worthy to take that book. Don't miss the reading of the Revelation tonight. We read through the whole book of Revelation. Our men help us, the deacons help us, and it'll be a blessing to your heart. Blessed is he that readeth, he that heareth. I can live a life of without fear, even though I'm one who needs salvation. Notice what he said. He said, it's my strength. I can live a life of no fear in spite of my tendency to weakness. And how many of you know that you don't naturally get stronger? Thank you for praying for me and my wife. My wife has been sick longer than I have this last go-round with a real heavy cold and with the virus and all that business and going back and forth in the hospital the last few days and walking. And she said, I'm weaker than I thought I was. And it doesn't take long for you to be down and sick for your body to become weak. And you don't naturally get stronger. You naturally get weaker. And though we have a tendency to weakness, I can live the future without fear, though I'm that way. And notice something else. Not only though I live in a dark world, not only do I need a Savior, not only do I tend to weakness, but notice he says this in verse 3. He says, and though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, I will, this will I be confident. He said this, though I have enemies, I'm not going to be afraid. And can I tell you right now, you've got enemies. You certainly have enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, those three big ones. And you can categorize everything else under them in subpoints if you want to. But the world is not a friend of grace. This world's not your friend. And the flesh really is not your friend. And the devil certainly is not your friend. And he doesn't just target preachers and missionaries and anybody else. He's after anybody and everybody he can to destroy. He's where Christ is not willing that any should perish, Satan wants everybody to perish. He wants everybody to dishonor God in every way. And though I've got enemies, and you're going to have enemies, though you're going to have battles, though they're going to encamp against you, look at these two key words in this verse. Though a host should encamp against me, and then down further it says, though war should rise against me, not battles, but wars. I want you to know that the devil is not going to, he's going to be relentless in his assault and attack on you. And I can tell you, those of you who want to serve God, he'll intensify his efforts. The more faithful you are to the choir, the more faithful you are to the house of God, the more faithful you are to the Lord you are in your giving, the more angry Satan's going to become. And he's going to war against you, and he's going to encamp against you. He'll pitch a Coach K-10 at your door, and he'll stay there. That Blue Devil, in case you didn't know what I was talking about. But anyhow, he'll stay right where you are. And he'll camp at your door. He'll encamp against you, and he'll not leave you. Listen, though I have enemies, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fear. Look down at verse number 10. And he said this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me out. Though I am forsaken of family and friends. Now, when you get saved by the grace of God, you're going to have enemies. And sad thing, sometimes it'll be your own household, be your wife, your husband, your family, your brother, somebody. Not because you are obnoxious, not because you're weirdo, but because there's a real difference between a saved person and a lost person. And you're going to have enemies. Satan's going to try to use everything he can. And sometime even your family will forsake you. But I'm not going to be fearful if everything I have, as a verse in the Bible says, that the foundations be destroyed. If everything that we have always felt was secure, if everything in this nation crumbles, we don't have to fear. Why? I'm going to give them to you right quick. Look at them in the Bible, if you will, please. I don't have to fear. Number one, look at verse number 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Because of past victories, I don't have anything to fear. I didn't win those victories. We didn't win the victory of purchasing this land. We didn't win the victory of paying this building off. It was the Lord. He did that. And when enemies came against you and enemies come against you, every past victory you've ever had had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with him. I can live a future without fear because of past victories. But look a little further, if you will, please. And notice, if you will, in verse number 4, he said this, one thing I have a desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I can face a future without fear if I have the right desire in my heart. What is that? He said, I've had one desire, that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That it's very much akin to a passage what the Lord said in the New Testament. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And if you have the right kind of desire in your heart, and everything in your life is geared toward this one thing, living for God, honoring God, and living in heaven for all eternity, that's the great desire of my heart. If that's the consuming passion of life, everything, nothing else matters. And Donnie said, like so many other people said when he was battling the cancer, he said, I'm a winner either way. And his desire, he said this, and he said it in his own testimony when we played that at his funeral, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die because he settled that. He settled that. And I can live a future without fear because of my desire. That is to see him and to be with him and to live all eternity in his presence. Look at verse number 5. I can live a future without fear, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion, and in the secret of the tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I don't have to live in the future because of fear, because of his protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You don't have to worry about anything. He's with you. If he goes with you, whatever you come to, he's going to be with you. Besides that, the Bible said in John chapter 10, he said he puts forth his sheep and he goes before them. And so whatever you face, when the doctor tells you you've got cancer and it's such a surprise to you, it won't be a surprise to him. When you go in on Monday and they give you a pink slip and your plant closes forever and they send it to China, you didn't know that, but he did. He got there before you did because the good shepherd's going before the sheep. And I can live a future without fear because of his protection. He's going to take care of his children. He's going to protect you. He's going to be there to protect you. Notice in verse number 6, I can live a future without fear. Notice, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto God. I can live a future without fear because I choose to shout, not to doubt. Amen. Praise God. David said, I know this. He's going to take care of me. So I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to go to the house of God and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to rejoice in him. And I'm going to sing. Yea, I'm going to sing praises to my God. And listen, you do that. The more you talk about how bad you feel, you know what happens? You feel bad or you feel worse. The more you talk about all the darkness, you know what you get? You get in a deeper, darker state. You cannot talk yourself out of that. You can talk yourself into it. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said he'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. And if you'll rejoice in the Lord and focus on him, and I choose to shout, not to doubt, I can live a future without fear. Does that mean I'm not going to have enemies? No, I'm going to have a lot of enemies. Mean I'm not going to have problems? No, I'm going to have a lot of problems. Mean I won't have tragedy? I'll have tragedy, heartache, all those things. But I can live a future without fear because I know this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil because he's with me. Thank God for that. I can live a life without fear. Because, my dear friend, I chose to shout and not to doubt. Look at verse 7. He said this, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. I live a future without fear because I acknowledge my need of mercy. You say, Brother Bill, I'm afraid I'll mess up. I'm going to take away that fear. It's kind of like the little fella who came to Mama one time kind of sheepishly and said, Mama, you know that vase that you've been worried about me breaking? And she said, yes. He said, you don't have to worry about that no more. Can I tell you, you don't have to worry about messing up in 2014. You know why? Because you are. You're going to have some great victories, but you're going to mess up somewhere along the line. But David did this. I can live a future without fear of my personal failure because I believe in his mercy. Do I want to disobey him? Do I want to fail? Do I want to be disobedient? No. But I can do this. I know one thing. His grace is sufficient, his mercy. And thank God when mercy walks in, that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. I can live a future without fear because I acknowledge my need for mercy. Notice a little further, if you will, please look at verse number 8. When thou say to seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I live a future without fear because I'm obedient. He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. And he said, when you said seek my face, I'm going to seek your face. That means I approach him with a willing, obedient heart. And I've come to him and said, God, whatever you want in my life, I'm going to do it. I can live a future without fear because I seek his face. Look a little further, if you will, please, in verse number 9. In verse number 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Notice this little thought. I can live a future without fear because I desire his presence. Oh, I want his presence. Paul said this, I want to forget those things which are behind. I'm going to press forward toward the mark of the prize, the high call of God. And he said, all these things I count that I might know him. My dear friend, if your desire is toward him, if you desire his presence, if you long for him, if you're seeking his face, I promise you can leave a future without fear. You'll be aware of his presence and you know he's there. And whatever's coming your way, he'll take care of you and he'll bless you in that. Notice, if you will, a little further. Look down at verse number 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I can live a future without fear for this one reason. I know he'll never leave me nor forsake thee. Bible said you ought to be content with such things you have because we have this promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, if you've got the Lord, you've got everything you need. He'll take care of you. He'll promise to do that. And listen, I can live a future without fear because his promise, I'll never leave thee. Look at verse number 11, if you will, please. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. I can live a future without fear because I'm willing to lead and be led and follow his path. I'll go his way. If I go my way, I'm like that prodigal son. The Bible said he desired all that was his from the Father, and the Father gave it to him. And the Bible said, and he took his journey, and he took his journey. He went his way, and he lost everything. But you know what the Bible said? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. If I'm willing just to follow the Lord wherever he leads me, if I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do, I live a future without fear. I'd rather be in the perfect will of God in China or the Philippines or somewhere else than to be right here in Johnson County and just doing my own thing. And I'm glad for right now God's let me live here. And I'm glad, I believe it's God's perfect will for me to be here. But whatever God leads you to do, I'm not talking about just geographically, but I'm talking about in every your life. I can live a future without fear as long as I'm willing to go God's way, the way he leads me. You don't have to worry about anything as long as you'll go God's way. Look at verse number 12. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for which false witnesses have risen up against me and such as breathe out cruelty. He said this, deliver me. He believed this. I live a future without fear because of one thing. I don't care what the problem is. He can deliver me. He can bring me out of it. He can take me through it. He'll be with me whatever I'm going through. He's going to take care of me. And thank God for that. Notice again, verse number 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I can live a future without fear because my confidence is not in me, but in him. I would have fainted, he said, had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. My dear friend, you can live a future without fear if you're trusting him and not yourself. You're trusting in him. He can do it. I'm trusting him. If I had to do it, I couldn't do it. If I had to do what I do, I can't do it. But as long as I'm trusting him, he can help me. I live a future without fear. You can live a future without fear because your confidence is in him and not in yourself. Last verse, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I can live a future without fear if I'm willing to wait on the Lord. I don't think that is a time thing, although it involves time. It has to do with my confidence in the Lord. That word wait has this thought. It is a total reliance upon. It's kind of using the other spelling of the word. It's I put all of my weight on something. If I came up to this pew right here and I sat on it, I picked my feet up off the floor, all of my weight is on that. But this word wait here in the Hebrew has very much the same picture. It's just like this. My Bible is waiting on the pulpit. It is totally relying on the pulpit. It has just rested itself on the pulpit. And he said this, you can live a future without fear if you'll totally rest on him. If you'll totally trust on him, he'll strengthen you. He'll give you good courage. If it's all of him, not of you. You know why? Because not anything he can't do. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we able to ask a thing. There's not one need he cannot meet. Everything. Listen, I don't have any fear. I don't fear darkness because he's my light. I don't fear disease because he's my healer. I don't feel drought because he is my water of life. I don't feel destitution because he's the bread of life. I don't fear debt because of his great riches. I don't fear direction because he is the way. I don't fear demons because he's my strength. And I don't fear death because he's my life. I'm trusting him. He's everything, everything to me. Now you say, Brother Billy, how in the world could you live a life in 2014 without fear? Don't you know what's going to happen politically? Don't you know what's going to happen socially across this nation? I'm going to tell you, the only way you can live without fear is to learn to put every bit of your confidence in him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him regardless of what happens. I want America to stand. It may not stand. I want America to be great. It may not be great. I want to be able to live out this whole year, but I may not live out this whole year. But whatever happens, I know one thing. I don't have anything to fear. I trust in him. Now, here's the thing. The Bible said the wicked have no rest day nor night. Here nor in heaven, in hell. They have no rest day nor night. There's no peace, the Bible said, to the wicked. They're like the waves tossed to and fro. You'll not find peace. You may find a little bit of quietness here, a little bit of joy here, but in the dark of night, when you're right by yourself, there'll be fear gripping your soul. You're afraid you're going to wake up dead and in hell. And the only way to eliminate that fear is to have the Prince of Peace living in here. And the only way to do that is to call on him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're in this building today, you ought to fear hell. You ought to fear death if you're not saved, because it's coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The wages of sin is death. That's coming. It's coming to you, and you'd better be ready. A few weeks ago, Jenny Allen testified back here, and she said, you know what? The greatest thing anybody could do for their family is for them to know 100% sure that you're saved. And then when Mary gave her testimonial at the funeral of her husband, Donnie, she reiterated the same thing. She said, most of all, I'm glad he got saved. And this is not goodbye. I'll see him again. My dear friend, if you don't know Christ today, you need to trust him as your Savior. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. A future without fear. I'm going to tell you, it's a very complicated world you live in. It's not getting any better. But what's always worked will still work. He'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. You can trust him. He'll still still the storm. He still speaks. He's still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. He made a promise to those of you who know the Lord, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's got a plan. It's probably not like my plan. His ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. From a human standpoint, my life may end up being the greatest tragedy anybody's ever known before this year's out. And yours as well. I don't think Brother Ricky will mind me sharing this. We stood in the hospital the first night that Miss Paula was there, stood by his bed, by her bed, and he said, this is sure not what we had planned for Christmas. But he said, God knows, and I trust him. And I'm going to tell you, I felt a little bit like what the Lord said, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. That's faith. Anybody can shout while you're on the mountain. But when the love of your life is laying there, you know what that is? That's living a life of faith and not fear. I'm trusting God. Does that mean his heart's not broken? No. Does not mean that if he could, he'd like to do it differently? I'm sure. It won't have the same way. But I'm telling you, if you want to have any kind of stability in this coming year, you're going to have all your confidence in him. I want to give you a challenge to all those who are saved this morning. I'd like to ask you to do this. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. First Sunday of the new year, Maybe you've not been as faithful to Sunday school as you should have been. Maybe you've not been as faithful to choir. Maybe you've been out of the choir for a while and you know you need to get back. Not been as faithful to the Sunday night, Wednesday night. I want you to do business with God this morning, not with me, but with the Lord. And some of you who are very faithful, I know that you'll want to come and just say, God, I want to be more faithful. I want you to do in my life what you want to do. And God, I don't want to doubt. I want to shout. I want to rejoice in you. And I invite you to come this morning while the music plays even now, if you want to come. While they're coming, let me ask you this. If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? If death came your way, and I'll tell you right now, I don't know if I've ever had a year when I did as many funerals as I have this past year. I attended and did funerals from infants to people 90 years old. And so I don't care how old you are today, you'll face that death sometime, and it may be sooner than you think. If you don't know for sure you're saved, the great priority of your life right now ought to be to trust Christ. He loved you and he shed his blood for you, died for you. Though you're a sinner, he bore all your sins in his own body on the tree. And right now, right where you are, I want to ask you a question. Would you be willing right now in simple faith to turn to the Savior? The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe in your heart, confess with the mouth, Lord Jesus Christ, that God had raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe that Jesus died for your sin, was buried and rose again, and you want to be saved. Would you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, please come in my heart and save me right now. I believe that you bore my sin on the cross, that you died, you were buried and rose again. Lord, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. My dear friend, if you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, if you believe that, if you came into this building this morning, you didn't plan to come during the week, but somehow or another you came, and God's Holy Spirit spoke to you through the message, through the singing, and through the invitation just now, and you ask God to come in your heart right now, you ask him, while folk are praying around the altar and in the congregation, would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, I trusted Christ just now for the first time. I ask him to come in my heart and save me. You don't have to live this future with fear. You can live without fear. You can trust Christ as your Savior and Lord.